Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, as usual, on Monday mornings, I'm trying to clear off the stack of stuff from last week and then get organized here with the stack of stuff ready to roll for this week here. And so, you know, oftentimes I'll look through, oh, man, we never covered that, or, oh, yeah, we talked about this, and there's more to follow on that front. Anyway, and then I'll look through some of the audio files that we had ready to roll for, say, Friday morning or Thursday morning, and then we just never got to, because you always want to be over-prepared. You don't want to be under-prepared for a show like this. Because, you know, the national guys, they can just talk about national stuff. But here, look, we get rolling at 6 o'clock in the morning. We go till 10 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, 9 o'clock, that's when our true statewide hour, when we're all across Montana. So I really try to focus in on more Montana stuff in that hour in particular. But here in the early morning hours, you kind of expect a little bit of everything. You want the big Montana stuff. You want, you know, what's going on locally, but you also want to hear and talk about what's going on the national front as well, because you're getting your morning started. So yeah, you want a little bit of everything. But one of the audio clips that we had ready to roll for you, I think on Friday, Tennessee's attorney general, the attorney general from the state of Tennessee, was on Fox News. A couple of different clips that we had ready to roll. There was a big U.S. Supreme Court case last week regarding, we mentioned it a little bit, talked about this a little bit, but you know, Montana, we passed a law here in Montana. Governor Gianforte signed it into law, a bill to protect kids from these life-altering, permanent procedures, surgeries, basically genital mutilation of kids. These radical transgender activists, they want to chop body parts off of kids and make permanent lifelong changes. And they are irreversible, you know, for the most part in most of these procedures. And so a case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The radical transgender activists challenged a law in Tennessee, which is very similar to the law that was passed here in Montana, where they want to overturn that law that protects kids, so that they can chop body parts off of kids. Anyway, never played the audio from the Tennessee Attorney General. I could probably get to it here this hour of the show. But thankfully, though, we've got even more to follow on that big case here following the news over the weekend. Joe Concha was on the big weekend show last night. He had a great reaction to this. Plus, Jason Chaffetz, a former Utah congressman who was hosting and anchoring the big weekend show, he summed up the Tennessee, I believe it's called the Scrimeti case, and just shared some of the outrageous reactions from the liberal media like MSNBC, and also compiled some audio of these nut jobs. Pardon my French, but these just absolute nut jobs on the United States Supreme Court, the liberal leftists like Ketanji Brown Jackson, and I think it was Sotomayor, who had another crazy statement. Anyway, we'll get that. We'll start with that clip here right after the break, and then Joe Concha with reaction and much more. Plus, if I didn't share it last week, I'll share a little bit of what Montana Governor Greg Gianforte had to say about this big Scrimeti case at the U.S. Supreme Court as well. Big news day here on this Monday. Lots to talk about. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. It's going to stay mostly cloudy across the area today. High temperatures range from about 32 in Bozeman to about 40 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures fall in the upper teens in Bozeman to the upper 20s in Billings. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for some sunshine. High temperatures from the mid-30s in Bozeman, lower 40s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
securing America.
At the recent Reagan National Defense Forum, one of the panel discussions focused on how best to deal with Iran and its support of proxy terrorist groups such as the Houthis. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst, a veteran who served in the Middle East, says to start with Iranian funding for terrorism.
To degrade the Houthis, we need to go back to their financial supporters, their backers.
The senator also says the U.S. needs to take a harder line.
We've got to get serious about this. The Houthis need to fear us. They don't fear us. Hamas certainly didn't fear us.
Senator Ernst adding,
we have to show strength. We have to mean it. We can't make a red line in the sand and then not do anything about it.
Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Herzog, also advocated tough action against Iran because
Iran is not, you know, the 800-pound gorilla that everyone thought it is.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Shocking story out of Great Falls, Montana, about a sex offender who was released into the community. The offender, convicted of raping a deaf and developmentally disabled 13-year-old girl, but was let out by the liberal Montana Supreme Court. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that full story thanks to the Great Falls Police Department, who just sent out an alert to the community about the danger being presented. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So last week, let's see, Matt Walsh with the DailyWire.com. Matt Walsh had that great documentary, What is a Woman? For those of you that saw that. And now he's got another great one out, Am I Racist? Which is another must watch if you're taking, you know, some vacation time here during the holidays, around Christmas, etc. If you haven't watched either of those, put them on your must-watch list. But anyway, here's the headline from an opinion piece that he wrote just a few days ago. This could be the beginning of the end for gender ideology. As Justice Alito observed, trans identity is not an immutable characteristic. And Matt Walsh wrote this. He says, in any other generation, this question would not have made it to the Supreme Court in the first place. The question itself would have been bewildering to anyone who heard it, for the simple reason that sterilizing, castrating, and mutilating children is one of the greatest evils imaginable. Even some of the most barbaric civilizations throughout history wouldn't contemplate it. You don't need a law degree to understand that. You don't need a convoluted analysis into the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. But yet, listen to how the liberal media just was bending over backwards to say how awful this Supreme Court case is, to say how awful this Tennessee law was to protect kids from having their body parts removed. Jason Chaffetz summed it up last night on the Big Weekend show on Fox News.
Here's an MSNBC host comparing opposition to trans medical procedures to Nazi Germany.
Targeting trans people isn't new. It is an age-old tradition, which Nazi Germany did with brutally violent ends in the 1930s.
Wow. During Supreme Court arguments over the trans treatment for children, left-leaning Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson also made insane comparisons to historical events and over-the-counter medication.
Every medical treatment has a risk, even taking aspirin. There is always going to be a percentage of the population under any medical treatment that's going to suffer a harm.
some of these questions about sort of who decides and the concerns and legislative prerogatives, et cetera, sound very familiar to me. They sound in the same kinds of arguments that were made back in the day, 50s, 60s, with respect to racial classifications and inconsistencies.
Now the far left is using trans children as pawns to fearmonger.
What concerns have you had about speaking out?
That I'm going to be, like, murdered. Like, one day I'm going to be walking down the street and somebody's going to come up and, like, shoot me or something.
That's a really scary thing to be worrying about at 10 years old.
Yeah, that should not be a worry.
Look at the mental health issues in kids that these radical transgender activists are causing. Rather than helping these children through a tough time, they're using these kids as pawns. They want them to have more mental health issues. They want them to live in fear. This is just crazy stuff. And I don't know if that was MSNBC or whoever it was that was comparing this somehow to Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany were the ones who were chopping body parts off of kids in their horrific experiments. And now you're the ones who are chopping body parts off of kids and giving them drugs with your horrific experiments. And then to compare this to somehow, well, you know, parents can make a choice whether to give their kids aspirin or not. You're chopping off body parts. We're not talking about taking a little pill of aspirin or something like that. And then to compare it to somehow, you know, racial segregation, give me a break. Joe Concha weighed in and gave this reaction.
My daughter just turned 11. I can guarantee you she does not know at that age whether she should be a boy or actually a girl. I'm sorry. Not that young? No way. Not until, at least to your point, I guess maybe 18, maybe 21. Here's what I know. Kamala Harris once said when she ran for president in 2019 that she supported U.S. taxpayer dollars paying for sex changes for those here illegally while in prison. And Donald Trump made that a campaign ad, and it was the most effective campaign ad against her in this campaign. He ran it during NFL games, during big events, and that was a huge issue in swing states. Number one in some swing states. Yeah. This is something that's an 80-20 issue. If Democrats want to run on this, you want to be part of the 20% that support literally chopping off body parts of children, roll the dice and take your chances, because that's not something that's going to win you elections ever, ever.
Yeah, at least. In this case, when it comes right down to it.
Exactly. And that point, again, it goes back to what we talked about last week when you had these, you know, three House lawmakers in the Montana House of Representatives cave to Zoe Zephyr and the Democrats on the Capitol bathroom policy. I mean, think about how unprecedented it is to allow a man into the women's bathroom. And you just got the memo loud and clear from the people of Montana, from the people of America, to reject this crazy nonsense and to put a halt to this craziness. And yet you cave? You just got the memo a month ago, and you cave? That's why people just get so frustrated so often with some of these Republicans and how weak-kneed they are. Governor Greg Gianforte, though, yes, submitted a brief to the court in support of Tennessee's law protecting children from these permanent, life-altering, and experimental medical and surgical procedures that remain unsettled silence, or that remain unsettled science. I'll tell you a little bit about what the governor had to say about this Tennessee case. Plus, the Tennessee Attorney General. We'll share a little bit of that coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will the budget games in Washington ever end? Tough-sounding budget rules are easily overcome by the fertile bureaucratic brains of Congress. Those rules keep score on the deficit impacts of legislation over a 10-year span. No problem. Spend like drunken sailors for the first 8 years and then pull in the reins in years 9 and 10. Filibusters blocking your path to passing new legislation? That's easy. Pretend like your bill merely modifies existing legislation to use so-called budget reconciliation rules that work around that roadblock. All this from the town that boasts about reducing deficits, deficits that remain hugely negative, or spending cuts that maintain galloping growth. The federal government is like a household that makes $50 a week and spends $62, and any responsible conversation about how to change that is quickly declared toxic. More revenue? Ever since George Bush told us to read his lips 30 years ago, it's untouchable. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. December is National Impaired Driving Prevention Month. The National Safety Council says weekends and holidays can be dangerous times on our roadways, and that two of the most celebrated days of the year, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, are among the most deadly. That is why December is recognized as an awareness month. The council also noting it's not just drinking alcohol that can cause impaired driving. Drugs like opioids, marijuana, even some over-the-counter medications can cause drowsiness and alter vision, mental judgment, and motor skills. That's in addition to fatigue and stress, which can also impair your ability to drive. Montana Highway Patrol, among the many state agencies across the U.S., reminding drivers to stay safe and sober. They'll be increasing their presence on that state's roads through January 1st. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordblond. The value of U.S. agricultural exports peaked in fiscal year 2022 before declining in 2023. Total exports were valued at $178.7 billion in 2023, a $17 billion decrease from 2022. Many farmers and ranchers attribute that to the lack of trade initiative by the Biden administration. But many are anticipating more trade opportunities under President-elect Donald Trump. Last week, I sat down with Ambassador Greg Dowd, who served as the chief agriculture negotiator at the U.S. Trade Representative's Office during President Trump's first term. And he says for the beef industry in particular, we are just now seeing the benefits of trade deals done in the past. But with nothing in the pipeline, it could impact U.S. producers.
For us in the beef industry, we're only now feeling the full weight and effects of the Korean trade agreement that we did all these years ago. It's an enormous boon for us now. But that was a 40% tariff that we took 15 years to get to zero. So this is the point, is you have to have things in the queue and constantly be doing this. You know, the Central American Free Trade Agreement is huge to us. But we have, for the last 4 years, we haven't done anything. So we don't have anything in the queue for us in the coming years. Now, when I was there, we redid deals with Canada, Mexico, China, and what I consider, especially for beef, one of the great trade deals of all time was Japan. Mm-hmm. When you add those four countries up alone, that's our top four markets for ag exports. That's over half, or right about half, of total U.S. ag exports. In Kansas farm boy terminology, we overhauled while I was there. So it was historic.
Dowd expects President-elect Donald Trump to continue to utilize the use or threat of tariffs with trading partners to create more and better trade opportunities for U.S. farmers, ranchers, and industry. For my full conversation with former Agricultural Trade Ambassador Greg Dowd, visit Western Ag Network online. Join Ship Wheel Cattle Company Wednesday, December 11th at the ranch in Chinook, Montana, as they sell 110 coming two-year-old bulls and 40 Ship Wheel bred heifers. Ship Wheel Cattle Company is your source for sound, athletic, thick-made bulls backed by one of the best guarantees in the business and females with extra durability and longevity. Sale time is 1 p.m. at the ranch in Chinook. Live bidding available through Northern Livestock Video. For catalog and more sale day information, visit shipwheelcattlecompany.com.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know everything from traffic jams to early morning meetings to pitching a product to a job well done. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Let's chat at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
The annual U.S. beekeeping survey indicates the highest colony losses since the year 2010-11, when colony loss rates were first determined. U.S. beekeepers lost an estimated 55.1% of their managed bee colonies in 2003 through 24, 14.8 percentage points higher than the 13-year average annual loss rate of 40.3%. This surge in colony losses was driven largely by losses among commercial beekeepers managing more than 500 colonies of bees. That's a look at our top agriculture headlines on this Monday morning. Thanks for joining us on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northlund. Have a great day, everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, by the way, thanks to Lane Nordland for that farm and ranch report and all the coverage from the Montana Stock Growers Convention last week. Those of you in farm and ranch country, hey, you'll be interested in this as well. Of course, those of you outside of farm and ranch country, how many of you are sad that you're missing out on all the fun down in Las Vegas for the National Finals Rodeo? You're missing out on Cowboy Christmas. I've been seeing some cool posts by Canty Boots. Canty Boots, you know, great company here in Montana. They had Larry the Cable Guy drop by their booth at Cowboy Christmas and a bunch of other folks. But anyway, if you're sad that you're missing out on all the fun and all the action, but you want to get together with a good group of folks for a good cause and watch the NFR, they're having an NFR watch party and Calcutta coming up here in Montana. It's going to be in Billings on Saturday night. I've got the full details on our Montana Talks website right now. The Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame is putting on that NFR watch party in Calcutta. And free entrance, family-friendly. And then what they're doing is they're going to have the Calcutta to help raise money for high school rodeo scholarships all across Montana. So a pretty cool deal there. Taking care of the kids. Good stuff. Got that story on our Montana Talks website, along with this headline: frustrating playoff loss ends the Montana Grizzly football season. Yeah, the Grizz got smoked by the South Dakota State Jackrabbits on Saturday. But, hey, South Dakota, of course, they're the reigning champions. They've just had such an incredible program for several years now. Are they the reigning champs? The Grizz beat North Dakota State last year. That's right. Anyway, and then the Bozeman Daily Chronicle has this headline. I thought one of our Bozeman contributors would have a write-up, but we don't have one for you yet. But here's the headline from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Tommy Mellott has career day in Montana State Bobcats win over UT Martin in the FCS playoffs second round. So the Bobcats head on to the next round of the playoffs. Good stuff. How many of you are thinking, man, I was trying to lose some weight, but man, he got a football game every Saturday. We had Thanksgiving. Maybe you took a few days of vacation, and then Christmas is coming up, so you're thinking, you know what? I was trying to lose weight, but man, this just ain't the season. It ain't the season to be losing weight. Now, if you're in the middle of the program, stay on the program. But if you're that person who you've been thinking about losing weight, but you're trying to do it on your own and it just ain't working, I'll tell you what, you don't need to start the program now on Monday, December 9th, but 1 month from now, you're going to want to get started. At the start of the year, you're going to want to get started with Billings Last Diet. I'm going to do a tune-up. It's a great time for me to do a quick tune-up and just get back on track at the start of the year. But you can sign up today to get started at the start of the year. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com. To have a Trump in the United States Senate. Wouldn't that be great to have a Trump in the United States Senate? Plus, what about this news out of Syria with Assad falling, Assad fleeing to Russia? Crazy story. We're going to talk more about that later this morning. Retired Major General Paul Vallely out of the Flathead Valley is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Okay, real quick, because the time just quickly escapes us here in this early morning hour of the program here. So back to this U.S. Supreme Court case here. This is United States versus Scrimeti, a challenge brought by the Biden administration to a Tennessee law which, like Montana's Youth Health Protection Act, aims to protect children from permanent life-altering medical and surgical treatments. They had the oral arguments in that case last week. I played some of the insane commentary from some of the liberal media and then just the absurd remarks from liberal justices like Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sotomayor, etc. But in 2023, Governor Greg Gianforte signed into law Senate Bill 99, Montana's Youth Protection Act as part of his commitment to protect children from invasive medical treatments that can permanently alter healthy developing bodies. The governor did file a brief before the Montana Supreme Court defending the common sense law and asking the court to allow it to go into effect. But he also filed a brief with the United States Supreme Court to uphold the Tennessee law as it is specifically targeted to protect minor children. Governor Gianforte said, quote, children who struggle with gender identity deserve love, compassion, and respect. They deserve no ridicule, animus, or seclusion. They are entitled to protection, not exploitation. While their young minds and bodies are still developing, they should not be subjected to experimental and permanent life-altering medical and surgical procedures. The governor added this, saying, quote, it is within this framework that Tennessee, like Montana and other states, has adopted laws that prohibit certain medical treatments for minors as a response to gender dysphoria. In doing so, they join other more progressive countries like Norway, Finland, Sweden, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and Denmark, which have likewise prohibited or restricted such treatments for children through either law or medical policy. And that was one of the things that the Tennessee Attorney General talked about last week, and I think it was also Justice Gorsuch, if I'm not mistaken, who made the point that, look, they've already done these experiments, these horrific experiments, by the way. They've already done these experiments on kids in some of these European countries. And they realized what a disaster that was. They realized what a mistake that was. Yet, look at the liberal TV stations here in Montana and the Democrats in Montana that still continue, even after the memo they got a month ago, that still continue to promote this craziness. Europe and many European countries figured out the folly and the error of their ways, and they moved away from it, which is exactly why we're doing the right thing by opposing it.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so we should have a guest joining us any second now, but I imagine she's probably doing another interview somewhere else across the country as we speak. So as soon as we get Ashley Smith-Thomas on the phone lines, we'll jump right into it. The topic of conversation, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio, Joe Biden is considering preemptive pardons for officials and allies before Trump takes office. You know, you heard about how he pardoned Hunter Biden, how he already pardoned his son Hunter. Very specific timeline, too. Why did he go back to that specific time period when he started the pardon? And then now, of course, people are wondering, man, who else is this guy getting pardoned before he leaves office here? And they've already been talking about how he might give a preemptive pardon to that criminal Dr. Fauci, who is responsible for just the absurd COVID lockdowns and these COVID mandates and forced vaccination, all sorts of stuff, if you want to call it a vaccine, of course. The shot, the jab, I think is a better way to phrase it. But he's talking about just doing all these preemptive, Brennan, Clapper, the rest of them, preemptive pardons. So anyway, we should be talking with Ashley Smith-Thomas about that here in just a second. First, though, you know, we were talking about this Supreme Court case to protect kids from these life-altering procedures, you know, where the Democrats want to chop body parts off of kids in the name of their radical transgender agenda. Stephen Miller sent out this tweet yesterday. Sanity is returning to HHS in 43 days. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Did you guys know this was a holiday yesterday? Saturday was, of course, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. Did you know that yesterday was a holiday for the Democrats and big government? HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, sent out a tweet. Today on Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day, everyone deserves to feel seen, respected, and supported no matter who they lust. I mean, love. Anyway, so the Federal Department of Health and Human Services sent out a freaking tweet celebrating pansexual and panromantic Pride Day. And Stephen Miller says, don't worry, sanity is returning to HHS in 43 days. Well, 42 now. All right, Ashley Smith-Thomas back with us. And now she's the founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. Ashley, great to have you back on the show. So what do you think? Is Joe Biden about to go on a pardon binge here in his final month or so in office?
That is such a great question. And first, thank you so much for having me. That is something that a lot of people are questioning, to just see if he's going to go on this blanket sweep, as it appears that he possibly will be doing. According to the Associated Press, President Joe Biden is weighing whether to issue sweeping pardons for officials and allies who the White House fears could be targeted by President-elect Donald Trump's administration. And this preemptive move would actually be a novel, risky move of use of the president's extraordinary constitutional power. This here, right now, these deliberations are at the level of the White House lawyers, but Biden himself has discussed the topic with some senior aides, according to two officials who have asked to remain anonymous. No decisions have been made, but it is possible that Biden opts to do nothing at all. And what's really interesting is that the names that have been floating around that would potentially receive this preemptive pardon from President Biden would be Dr. Anthony Fauci, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, and Congressman now Senator-elect Adam Schiff. But here's the thing. If you go and you are preemptively pardoning these individuals, it's giving the appearance of guilt. So then the question comes down to what crimes do they commit, because they have not been charged with any crimes. There's been no investigation. They have not, there's just been nothing charged against them. And typically pardons are used for those who've been accused of very specific crimes and or they have already been convicted of an offense. So the fact that Biden is considering issuing these for those who've not even been investigated, let alone charged, is very questioning. So it's going to be interesting to see how his attorneys guide him in and through this, if he does anything at all. In my opinion, I'm hoping that he does not do this blanket pardoning of officials, because again, it just makes it look like that there's guilt and they haven't been tried for anything. And if the Trump administration holds them accountable for whatever issues that they'd be charged with, then they need to handle this on their own, just like everyone else, by getting a legal team and go through the process without receiving preemptive pardoning from the current president.
Yeah, Liz Cheney, that's a hysterical one in particular, because, you know, the former Wyoming congresswoman, and we've got listeners in northern Wyoming right now on 970 KBUL out of Billings, but, you know, Liz Cheney destroyed evidence, hid evidence. I mean, it was a horrific abuse of that process with this whole January 6th committee. So that's why her name would be on some sort of preemptive pardon list. And then Dr. Fauci, we know the nonsense that guy pushed and how he personally profited from it. But here's the deal. Like, the justice system has been weaponized against conservatives or people who dare question the left and the Democrat Party. I mean, our side is and always has been fair, anybody that we would consider on our side in the courts and in the justice system. And so for this idea, I think it's truly an admission of guilt that they would have to come up with a preemptive pardon list, because I think they realize the norms and the laws and the procedures that they violated, and they're all out war against Trump and the American people.
Absolutely. And I think that they're terrified and afraid of what could be potentially coming. And what's really interesting is that there was an opinion piece written for Newsweek that outlined an interesting perspective regarding Biden's blanket pardons, in that it's an admission of guilt. And the question comes down to, then do Democrats believe that Fauci or Schiff actually committed a crime? And then here's the other thing, too, is are the Democrats going to look into them and launch the investigation? Of course not. So then this comes down to, is this an assault on the rule of law? Because it's admission that the Democrats believe that justice is not only political, but should be politicized. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the justice system, to your point, being weaponized and politicized under this administration, because time and time again with this administration, especially when it comes to Trump and conservatives, we witnessed the lawfare by the DOJ and the FBI toward Trump and his presidential campaign. And so then the question comes down to, okay, well, why is Biden looking at doing this? And most presidential pardons, they go to people after they've served their time, or after they've been sentenced. And then people are wondering, okay, well, then what are these individuals being pardoned for? And so that in itself, I think, here in the coming weeks, as Biden finishes out his term, I'm hoping that his attorneys will steer him in the right direction and not doing the preemptive pardon. But again, you know, we heard time and time again that he wasn't going to pardon Hunter, and yet he did. And I think that this here just goes to show the hypocrisy within the Democratic Party and within this administration, that Democrats act as if they are for the rule of law, but instead they are actually working against it and portray themselves to be above the rule of law, because individuals who have committed lesser crimes and offenses end up going to prison, but
it's also kind of an admission here that maybe this is an admission that they think that they crossed the line so blatantly and so egregiously that they think that finally somebody might actually be held accountable by the system. Ashley Smith Thomas, great to have you on the program as always. Thanks so much for your time. Quick break. Jimmy Failla on the pardon list next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I mean, I noticed today Lake and Riley's, you know, we all know Lake and Riley, Rachel Moore, and Jocelyn Ungaray, but there are literally hundreds of other Americans that have been murdered by Harris, Biden, unvetted illegals. Why doesn't the left think of that? Why don't they care about that? Or the hundreds of Americans raped, or the thousands and thousands of Americans that have been victims of violent crimes? And what has happened to this party? How did they evolve from where Obama and Hillary, you can't disrespect the law. We have people that are terrorized, that are trying to get into the country. We can't have that. How did it evolve into this party of free sex change operations?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday Last Chance is happening right now. Don't miss out. Up to 45% off site-wide, plus free professional measure. Now, avoid the home renovation overwhelm, a nightmare. Now, swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings, it delivers big results. And Blinds.com, they make it simple, easy, and they make it affordable. With Blinds.com, you shop online, you don't sacrifice quality, style, or service, and a Blinds.com professional expert available to help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. They handle everything from measuring to installation. As a matter of fact, you can get your whole home installed for one low cost. Anyway, don't miss Blinds.com Cyber Monday, Last Chance, going on right now. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus get free professional measure only for a limited time. Blinds.com, 45% off site-wide, free measure today, and check it out now. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. It's going to stay mostly cloudy across the area today. High temperatures range from about 32 in Bozeman to about 40 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures fall in the upper teens in Bozeman to the upper 20s in Billings. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for some sunshine. High temperatures from the mid-30s in Bozeman, lower 40s in Billings.
That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
At the recent Reagan National Defense Forum, one of the panel discussions focused on how best to deal with Iran and its support of proxy terrorist groups such as the Houthis. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst, a veteran who served in the Middle East, says to start with Iranian funding for terrorism.
To degrade the Houthis, we need to go back to their financial supporters, their backers.
The senator also says the U.S. needs to take a harder line.
We've got to get serious about this. The Houthis need to fear us. They don't fear us. Hamas certainly didn't fear us.
Senator Ernst adding,
we have to show strength. We have to mean it. We can't make a red line in the sand and then not do anything about it.
Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Herzog, also advocated tough action against Iran because
Iran is not, you know, the 800-pound gorilla that everyone thought it is.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Shocking story out of Great Falls, Montana, about a sex offender who was released into the community. The offender, convicted of raping a deaf and developmentally disabled 13-year-old girl, but was let out by the liberal Montana Supreme Court. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that full story thanks to the Great Falls Police Department.
Care.com or download the free app today.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, we've got a great lineup on the show here later this morning. Of course, coming up on the 7 o'clock hour, we get to your business news with Evelyn Pyburn. Then we'll have some open phones time after that where we can mix it up. I think what I might do, maybe after that 7:30 Fox News update with some open time that we've got there, is I've got a series of Trump War Room highlights straight from the Trump War Room. A lot of it featuring sound bites from President Trump himself on his NBC Meet the Press interview Sunday morning. So maybe we'll get to that coming up around 7:30, 8 o'clock hour, big 8 o'clock hour of this show. Mark Lauder, a former special assistant to President Trump, is going to join us around 8:40 this morning. But before he joins us, retired Major General Paul Vallely. Major General Paul Vallely has actually been on the ground in Syria. Always has incredible insight anyway. He was on the show with Denny Rehberg a couple of weeks ago. But now look at this big news in Syria over the weekend. The end of a 50-year reign of the brutal Assad family, the dictatorial Assad family. Syrian government falls in stunning end to 50-year rule of Assad family. But who are these rebels that are poised to take over? I think General Vallely can give us some pretty interesting insights. That'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're talking everything from nuclear energy options in Montana to homeless camping in the parks in Missoula with the city council member from Missoula and much more. So big lineup here on this Monday, December 9th. All right. We were talking with Ashley Smith-Thomas about, you know, who are all the people that might get pardoned by Joe Biden in his final few weeks in office. Jimmy Failla put together a list of the people that he thinks could or should get pardoned. You know, Jimmy Failla, the stand-up comedian, the former New York City cab driver. We talked with him last week on this show at this exact time of the hour. Anyway, during his comedy show on Saturday night on Fox News, here is his first candidate deserving of a presidential pardon, and it's a Montana man.
Our first case before the pardon committee, okay? Mm-hmm. Montana man sentenced for cloning a giant sheep. It was an 81-year-old Montana man. He gets 6 months in prison for illegally using tissue and testicles from large sheep to create hybrid sheep for trophy hunting in Texas and Minnesota. What's the deal here? You let him go, you send him away?
Well, he didn't sleep with the sheep, which is big, right? Because in some parts of the country, that would be a thing. No, you keep this guy. Look, we need him for Doge, right?
Uh-huh.
If we can make more animals cheaper and then feed people, this is good. This is better. I like this guy.
Very convincing. Yes. Allie, what say you?
Yeah, I think keep him for sure. Don't send him to prison. Send him to NASA. A guy who can do this stuff. It's
imagine
like
that.
81 years old.
No, I don't like sending him to NASA because that sounds like you just want to clone those other rockets that are stuck, those astronauts stuck in space and lie to people and say we got them back. That sounds shady. Dan, what do you got?
I agree. You got to pardon him. I mean, just the ambition on the 81-year-old to be like, I'm going to make new kinds of sheep.
Yeah.
You know, like, why?
When was the last time we got a bonus sheep?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was Dolly the sheep, right?
Yeah.
And since this is kind of a Dolly Parton parody of Donnie Parton, he's off the hook.
Off the hook.
You are free, Montana man. Yep. Case number two.
All right, there you go. Montana man makes Jimmy Failla's list of potential presidential pardons.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will the budget games in Washington ever end? Tough-sounding budget rules are easily overcome by the fertile bureaucratic brains of Congress. Those rules keep score on the deficit impacts of legislation over a 10-year span. No problem. Spend like drunken sailors for the first 8 years and then pull in the reins in years 9 and 10. Filibusters blocking your path to passing new legislation? That's easy. Pretend like your bill merely modifies existing legislation to use so-called budget reconciliation rules that work around that roadblock. All this from the town that boasts about reducing deficits, deficits that remain hugely negative, or spending cuts that maintain galloping growth. The federal government is like a household that makes $50 a week and spends $62, and any responsible conversation about how to change that is quickly declared toxic. More revenue? Ever since George Bush told us to read his lips 30 years ago, it's untouchable. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.